Kingdom come, my kingdom come. The hour is drawing near. Let everyone obey these words that has the ear to hear. Let the kingdom come from deep within, and let me rule your heart, and I'll purge your life from everything that's been keeping us apart. Let the earth hear my voice. The time to decide is here, to decide to walk as a soldier, to decide not to live in fear. The sheep shall divide from the goats, and then the chaff shall be blown from the wheat. My people shall arise and become a strength. They will never give place to defeat, but they shall walk in unified faith, in power. They shall conquer all. They will lay their lives on the line, but they shall not faint, and they shall not fall. For my name shall be their name. They'll walk behind the veil. The world will know them by their love, and that love will never fail. Spirit of man, rise up. Let me live big inside. When you walk down the street, the sick shall recover and the dead shall rise. Let no man think me weak. I am able to perform what I say. And all that I've declared shall come to pass in the last detail. Run the race to win. Cease to practice sin. The crown of glory awaits you, so come on, get in. My word is the key. Get it inside your heart. For the seed you plant shall become a tree, bearing fruit that you soon will harvest. Kingdom come, my kingdom come. The hour is drawing near. Let every man obey these words that has the ear to hear. Let the kingdom come from deep within, and let me rule your heart, and I'll purge your life from everything that's been keeping us apart. Yes. Amen. Now, it would be wonderful to pretend I'm that clever that I made that up on the spot, but no, that was one of the songs, actually, that's on the album, and sometimes I feel it has a little more of a, actually, a little more of a punch when you actually recite the words than even sing them. And I do believe it to be a prophetic utterance again, and just God speaking to us. Now, these songs were written in 1980, and I believe they're more relevant today than they were because of the times in which we live. Boy, I'll tell you, it feels so close, doesn't it? Yes. You know, you get kind of mixed emotions looking at world events because you think on one hand, oh, my gosh, look how terrible everything's getting. And then on the other hand, you say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, you know, yes. Right? The power and the glory of my kingdom is near. The power and the fullness of the Son will soon be here. He will come in regal splendor to the planet he will rule. Every evil shall be crushed beneath his heel. The power of my word will cause the earth to know my will, and it'll unify my people, and my words will be fulfilled, that this body, jointly fit, shall walk as one who is full grown. And you'll speak the words of life with power, backed by my own throne. He's the power, Lord. He's the power, the glory forevermore. He's the power, the glory, the King of Kings, the mighty risen. He's the power and the glory forevermore. The glory of that moment when the Son of God appears will shrink the greatest deeds of man until they all but disappear. And the hearts of men shall fail them for the fear of what it means to be standing in the presence of the King of every king. And mankind will stand naked in the power of his might as the head comes with his body to eternally unite. Every knee on earth shall bow and every tongue shall say the words, Jesus Christ is Lord of everything. He's the power, the glory, the King of kings, the mighty risen Lord. He's the power, the glory forevermore. Whoa. Hit a good night because it's the last night of about a 2-week tour, so I can blow it out and it doesn't matter because I don't have anything tomorrow. I had a couple of requests earlier in the morning about a couple of my older songs that came off my first solo album. I can honestly say that I was always able to make the record I wanted to make. You know, today, some of you know I have a daughter that's in the group Zoe Girl in recent years, and we saw the industry, the talons of industry come in to kind of try to control certain aspects of what the girls were trying to say. And, you know, there was one album where they wanted them to completely take out every reference directly to Jesus, which isn't really what you expect to hear from a Christian record company, do you? But I will say that for all the problems we had, and there's still business problems and things that, you know, we're a bunch of hippies, you know. Back in 1970, when we started recording, who would even dream that companies like EMI and Sony would own our catalogs someday, you know? So you didn't write in escape clauses or any of that stuff, so just kind of figured everybody would do the right thing, naive little guys we were. And but, you know, as far as making the record I wanted to make, I was always able to make that record. And I had this concept for these three songs to end my first solo album, Lay Your Burden Down, Slow Down, and then end the album with Sometimes Hallelujah. Well, those are three ballads. So the conventional wisdom from the corporate side of it came down and said, it'd be too boring if there's three ballads in a row. You gotta break it up with an up-tempo tune, you know? We like the whole album, but you can't put three ballads in a row. Well, I won the argument and put the three ballads in a row, and I had more response to those three ballads at the end of the album than I did about the rest of the album or anything I'd ever done up to that point. So I'm gonna do two of those songs for you right now. One's called Slow Down. Quite simply, just be still and know that he is God, written into a song that I wrote, and then Lay Your Burden Down, which is quite simply, lay your burdens at the foot of the cross, okay? Simple stuff, but sometimes the simple stuff is the deepest in its meaning. Back in the hippie days, before we were ever Christians, we would read the Bible, and we get very confused. You know, we get into the doctrines of Paul and all this twisted, convoluted stuff. So we had a thing, we actually had this little saying. We'd say, let's go back and read the red print. And we would literally have Bible studies where we just read through the gospel and just read the red print. No black print at all, just read the words of Jesus. And we call it a reality check, you know, just kind of get ourselves back to square one. So these songs are kind of red print songs, okay? In the midst of my confusion, in the time of desperate need, when I am thinking not too clearly, a gentle voice does intercede. Slow down, be still. Be still and wait on the Spirit of the Lord. Slow down and hear His voice, and know that He is God. In the time of tribulation, when I'm feeling so unsure, when things are pressing in about me, comes a gentle voice, so still, so pure, slow. Be still and wait on the Spirit of the Lord. Slow down and hear His voice, and know lay your burden down, lay your burden down, take your weary life, your heavy load, and lay your burden down, lay your burden down. Get your feet on solid ground. Take your worries to the foot of the cross and lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Lay your burden. Take your troubled soul, your tired mind, and lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Get your feet on solid ground. Take your failures to the foot of the cross and lay your burden down. You've been trying hard to make it all alone, trying hard to make it on your own, and the strength you once were feeling isn't there no more. And you think the wrong you've done is
was just too much to be forgiven, but you know that isn't true. Just lay your burden down. He has forgiven you. He has forgiven you. Lay your burden down. Take your burdens to the cross and lay them down. Lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Take your
thanks. Now, how about requests? Anybody have thought about it a little bit? Now, you may not even remember my music, so I don't know. But way in the back, what is it? Oh, thanks.
Bullfrogs and butterflies, da 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 da.
Something like that, I don't know. My brother Barry McGuire, you know something? He's a fantastic guy. People don't realize how much Barry has done over his life. He was in the New Christy Minstrels, Green, Green, It's Green, They Say, On the Far Side of the Hill, and Eve of Destruction, and he loves the Lord with all of his heart, and he's really sold out over all these years to just follow Jesus just to the utmost. Back here again.
Love Song.
Love Song. Okay, I can do that.
Fill My Cup.
Gosh, they're really getting obscure in here tonight. Okay.
Talk to
Me.
Talk to One Another.
I don't know. That's not mine. I have Talk to Me, okay. But I don't want to talk to one another. are you thinking of Talk to Me?
No,
a different one. Okay, not my song. Okay, so Love Song. What was it?
Fill My Cup.
Fill My Cup. Anybody else?
Feel the Love.
Feel the Love.
Little Country Church.
Okay, we can do that. I haven't done the Fill My Cup in a long time. Let's start with that.
Here's my cup, would you fill it up? Would you let me overflow? My heart just wants to show how I love you. I will sing and I will shout, making music to you, Lord. My heart will strike the chord of my steadfast love. Here's my cup, fill it up with the falling rain. Fill my cup, fill it up like it was again. Come and dine, come and walk through the open door. I've had a taste of your love. I want more, more, more. Now you answer me, okay, after me. Fill my cup, fill it up, baptize me in the crystal sea and fill me up. Fill my cup, fill it up, capture me with your spirit, please, and fill me up. When I'm blue and it dims my view like a faded photograph, Just blow away the chaff, let the wind blow. I will sing and I will shout, making music to you, Lord. My heart will strike the chord of my steadfast love. Here's my cup, fill it up with the falling rain. Here's my cup, fill it up like it was again. Come and dine, come and walk through the open door. I've had a taste of your love, and I want more, 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 more. Here we go now, fill my cup. Fill it up.
Fill it up.
Baptize me in the crystal sea and fill me up.
Fill my cup.
Fill it up.
Capture me with your spirit, please, and fill me up.
One last time now.
Fill my cup.
Fill me up.
Capture me with your spirit, please, and fill me up.
All right. Kind of puts one in mind of Tony Orlando and Don or something, doesn't it? You know, I'm having so much fun with these PBS things. You guys watch these, you know? See, for guys my age, see, these are my peeps, right? These old groups come on PBS, and they're all my age guys, right? Really old guys. And they sound like a million bucks. And they get out there, and they have this great band behind them. And it's just, what a treat, you know, to hear, you know, tell me da 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 da. Or, you know, the beat goes on, right? I mean, just so many of those great old songs. So I don't thank the Lord for PBS, but I'm grateful to somebody for it. Lend an ear to a love song. This was actually no more than a little kind of a, we wrote this before we were Christians, and when we put it on the album, you know, we decided to call ourselves Love Song, and it was just our idea of being a little theme song for the album, you know, kind of Sgt. Pepper kind of, you know, remember that had a little, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band came out at the front, and then at the end they reprised it. So we thought, well, let's take Love Song, we'll put it at the front, and we'll reprise it at the end. So we did just that, and this thing was only a minute and a half long. And in the Philippines, they pulled it. In those days, a lot of people don't know, but the Love Song album, the first Love Song album, was first distributed by a secular label, by United Artists. Because our idea was to get it into, you know, secular radio and have an influence and get people saved. So what they would do is they would send the album to the different representatives in different countries and let the local people that ran the label in their countries make the determinations of what songs would be best radio singles and all that, depending on the culture. Well, in the Philippines, they decided this song would be a song the Philippine people would like, and they put it on the radio and went to number one. So missionaries called us up, you know. They always isn't that one of Chuck Smith's groups? So they call us up and say, hey, you guys, we want to bring you over here. We're going to put you in Rizal Stadium, which is where the Beatles played 4 years earlier, and you guys are bigger than the Beatles over here right now, you know. So you don't believe that when anybody says that, because the Beatles were huge, you know. So we get on the plane. The tickets, first of all, were comped, Philippine Airlines, and we get on the plane, and we're getting ready to take off, and the stewardess is taking pre-orders, you know, prepare for, you know, drink orders later on. And she comes to our seat, and she looks at us, and her eyes just get like sauce. She says, Love Song, Jay, Tommy. You know, we're going, oh, okay. Whoa, maybe we are kind of big right now, you know. We got off the plane, and they had news cameras there, and we were on the 6 o'clock news kind of thing at night. And then we drove through the main square in the town, and they had this 60-by-60-foot banner of the back of our album cover with our four faces on there, you know, kind of going, dudes, this is kind of getting deep here, you know. And we played to 10,000 people a night for 5 nights in a row and had thousands of salvations because of this simple little song, okay? This is the slightly longer version. Lend an ear to a love song. Ooh, a love song. Let it take you, let it start. What can you hear in a love song? If can feel it, then you're feeling from the heart. All the emotions, true feelings of life is what music of love is about. If you are listening with peace in your heart and no doubt, so listen now to a love song. Ooh, a love song. Let it take you, let it start. How many of you actually remember that? Well, there's about a dozen of us that are still alive. The ranks are thinning. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be. Preacher isn't talking about religion no more, he just wants to praise the Lord. People aren't as stuffy as they were before, they just want to praise the Lord. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be. No, no, no. Little church has come alive, working with each other for the common good, putting all the past aside. Long hair, short hair, some coats and ties, people finally coming around.
looking past the hair and straight into the eyes. People finally coming around, and it's very plain to see it's not the way it used to be. Moves, man, moves. Woo.
All right, we'll get Feel the Love in before we change the tone here. Feel the Love was the very first song I ever wrote that had a spiritual theme and, again, was pre-Christian. It went through three significant lyrical changes. When I first wrote this song, I was I actually owned a home, Pasadena, California. I had worked in studios and I had a little money, and so I was a kind of a different kind of hippie. I was a hippie with a little bit of money, and all my hippie friends would hang at my house, right? And we'd play music and get stoned, and they kind of lived there, you know. They'd come in and out, and just trashing the place, right? And you have to have been in this to understand what I'm going to say right now, but some of you might be able to relate in the kind of the cultic mentality that prevails in that kind of a situation. I started to clean my kitchen up. Well, here's the cultic part. And these guys came up and said, "Brother, what are you doing? You love your worldly possessions more than you love God," you know. And I felt so frustrated because the place was just trashed. And I went on the back porch of the house and I started to write these words that you'll hear in the song, "Save the Sadness for Another Time." I was just tired of fighting. There was a lot of bickering going on, despite the fact we were supposed to be spiritual hippies. And so the first line of significance was in here. It was there's a line that says, "Feel the love that only God can bring," because I hadn't found Jesus yet. So I was looking for God. And then I thought I found God, and I said, "Feel the love that only God can bring." Then I became a Christian, and I changed it for the final time to "Feel the love the Son of God can bring." So here's my hippie song. Save the sadness for another time. Save the words for a song that rhymes. Save the cry for the ones who've lied, who've missed all the meaning, and their souls have died. Save the doubting for the morning sun. Bring in daylight where there once was none. Feel the love the Son of God can bring by believing, by receiving Him. Feel the love, oh, love.
save the heartaches for the yesterday. Now's the time to change our foolish ways. Feel the love the Son of God can bring by believing, by
all right. Thanks so much. You know, I want to take just a couple of minutes here. I won't go really long on this, but before we move into what I do best, and just, you know, being direct with you, you know, my anointing is more in the area of worship than it is praise. I'm not a really rock and piano player and all. I can do praise if I have a band behind me, and, you know, I've done that before. I was actually on staff for a couple of years in a church, and we had a worship band, and we could do all the praise numbers, but my real comfort zone, what I enjoy doing best, is just to sit at the keyboard and just sing worship songs that I've written and lead you in worship in some familiar choruses, and we're going to do that for the last few minutes of the service tonight. But I wanted to share with you, I was going to bring this message this morning, and then I felt like, first of all, I felt like this group actually didn't need this message, you know, because you really know how to enter in, but you can always learn something from anything that you hear, even if you kind of inherently know it already. But in years and years of studying worship, seriously, many years of really devoted study of all the typology in the Old Testament, you know, of the tabernacle of Moses, walking in, washing yourself at the laver, and how that relates to us in modern times, and going in through the different stations to get to the altar of incense and then to the Holy of Holies. All that stuff is significant in its own way, typology. But you know, I'm kind of a practical guy, and when I kind of get to the end of the day, I kind of say, like, what will really stick with people? What have I learned that will really be significant, will make a difference in people's lives? And these are the four things. I call this the four most important things that I've learned about worship, okay? Now, they're very simple, self-evident principles, not formula. I don't believe in formulas. I believe in principles, okay? We need to learn principles and operate in those principles. There is no formula for really anything in the kingdom of God. And I think that Jesus really proved that out by the way he healed people, you know. If Jesus had one technique, then everybody, you know, like if Jesus just, we'd be the spitting people, right? Jesus spit on the guy's eye or right, or in the mud or whatever. We'd say, well, that's how you get healed, you know. Let me spit in your eye, brother. You know, and we'd just be spitting all the time. But Jesus did things, everything he did was different. Creative, fresh, new, whatever the Holy Spirit said, okay? And so I believe in principles, not formulas. So here's four little principles, okay, that are very simple, self-evident truths that I believe if you put these four principles into practice in the way you approach worship, that your worship experience will be deeper, okay? Number one, worship is about God, not us, okay? Yeah. See, now we've made a lot of things about in the church about us, not God. And it's the thing that I see that most bothers me about the church in general. I don't paint any specific congregation with the same brush, but as I observe the church, which I am privileged to do by traveling around as much as I do, seeing the church worldwide, Especially here in America, here in Western culture, I see a kind of a gimme church. Let me go to church and see what I can get out of it, you know. Let's get healed. Let's get blessed. Let me go get lifted up. I'm depressed. I need to go get happy. I need the laughing anointing. You know, people come for the different things they can get out of it, out of a service. But I will tell you something. As a veteran of the streets, I do street ministry as much as possible. I love to do street ministry. You can't get five people out to do street evangelism, but you can get 500 out to the healing meeting, right? I'm not faulting that. I understand we want to be blessed. We want to receive. But especially in worship, you need to take the attitude that I'm doing this for God. It's God's moment, not mine. I'm coming to church to provide God a service. What a privilege. We're the only people in the universe that can truly minister to the creator of the universe. We can't even comprehend why it works. You say, listen to my measly little voice. How could God be pleased with that? And the only earthly counterpart we have is a young child like this that comes up to us someday. You know, maybe you've had kids, you know, grabs your pant leg, looks up and you say, I love you, Daddy. And you first thing you do is correct his English, right? Son, it's not love. Learn to say your L's. No, you don't do that. You pick him up, you speak his language. I love you too. Here's some candy. Shove, shove. I'm a grandparent, so I get to do that, you know. Right? It's not about that. It's about the expression of the love of the child's heart, and that's what I believe God responds to in his children. He created us for his pleasure. Now, here's the cool part. You're going to get blessed. It's automatic. You serve the blesser. It's a done deal. So you can even have that in the back of your selfish little mind, you know. I'm going to go bless God selflessly, but I know I'm going to get blessed, right? And that's cool. But the actual approach of just saying, Lord, I choose to be selfless right now. I want to love you unconditionally as you love me unconditionally. And then as you do that, the Bible says he will inhabit the praises of his people. He comes down to join you, to anoint, to sit in that worship, and to begin to give back to you. It's automatic because our God can't help but give back because he is not selfish. He is selfless. And everything he does, you don't always understand it, but everything he does in our lives, no matter what happens, no matter how mad we get at him, no matter what kind of situation it is, everything he does is for our ultimate good. He would never do anything for our harm. It's not possible for him. So we don't understand it, and we've all lashed out, God, what's the deal? You know, why are you doing this? Why is this happening to me? I've learned one thing over the years. Here's some theology, okay, for you. God is never my problem. He's always my solution. Okay? Because there's a lot of times when I think God's my problem, right? And the devil loves to come right along and say, yes, God is your problem, brother. Hath he not said in his word, you know, it's how the devil tempted Jesus. You know, did not the word say if you put, you know, cast yourself off this mountain, 1,000 angels would come to bear you up, you know? And Jesus said, he put him in his place. He said, ship your saddle home, right? So anyhow, do it for him. Make it about him, and he'll make it about you. It's that simple, okay? Number two, leave your troubles at the door. This isn't the place to be worrying about stuff. I love that we call this building a sanctuary. A sanctuary is a place of safety, right? And you're safe here. And you need to kind of like just picture that Jesus is the doorman. And you, if you're like me, you know, I don't always practice what I preach. We're walking around all week long, you know, carrying our big old bag of woe, my marriage problems, my difficulties, my financial difficulties, my kids this, my kids that, my this, that, and the other thing, and woe is me, and I'm depressed, and whatever it else is that's on your mind. Take the whole big old bag and hand it to dear doorman Jesus, okay, and just say, Jesus, would you hold this for about an hour and a half while I go into service? And he takes it out of your hands, and it's light as a feather in his hand, right, because he was designed to deal with it. He says, why are you carrying this? I died on the cross for this 2,000 years ago. Here, take this instead. And he hands you a little package. You open it up. It's plain brown paper with a little white string. Simple stuff, you know. You open it up and there's a garment in there. You shake it out. It's the garment of praise. And you put it on. Wow, that looks good. That feels light. You exchange that spirit of heaviness for the garment of praise, right? And you come into church and just lay your burden at the foot of the cross for an hour and a half. And don't be thinking about your worries, your woes. Let your mind be clear so that you can worship God unconditionally and freely with all of your heart. Amen? Amen. Number three, participate. Sounds like it's the simplest one, doesn't it? But you know what? Part of the, I'm blessed, as you'll notice later, when I lead worship, I close my eyes, basically, okay? And I struggled with this for a long time because when you're kind of, I was in show business before I was a Christian. I had a couple of hits when I was a kid, 21-year-old kid, that Billboard chart hits, and we get out, I've actually done shows with Jerry Lee Lewis and Jackie Wilson and my boyfriend's back, the Angels, you know, all those songs. I knew those people, and I did shows with them because my little hits that I had in the world. And you're always kind of in this mode of projecting, you know. Look, you know, you dance a little bit and eye contact. And so I always struggled with that with worship because my comfort zone was just to close my eyes and get with God. And that's what I do in private. So one day I was in private worshiping God. And he said, why don't you just do that on the stage, you know, and I'll draw the people in, you know. Don't worry about it. Just get lost in me and I'll pull them into what's happening between you and I. So I have this comfort zone of being able to feel comfortable about closing my eyes and just worshiping God. And the other blessing of it is I don't have to look at you guys, you know. Because I'll tell you, it gets really distracting. You know, you'll be deeply into it, and you open your eyes and look out there, and there's two guys going, or another person is going, doink, 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 doink. Doesn't have a clue what's going on, you know. People walk into the bathroom, you know, it's true. And it's so distracting. You look out and say, where are you people? What's up with you? Don't you see what's happening here in the stage, you know? And I really do believe that if you lose yourself in it, God will draw you in. It's not like I'm in this little special zone of my own that you can't get to. I believe that you have to work at it a little bit and give yourself to it, but you can get there, right? And so a lot of people don't know how to get there, you know. They just don't really have the tools with which to even understand that kind of connection with God. That's what I enjoyed ministering to this congregation this morning, because you guys do. And I don't patronize. I say that in all sincerity. So participation is an essential element. One of the reasons I can sing the same songs over and over is years ago, I realized that if I would get myself into every lyric I'm singing as if it's the first time. See, I could coast up here. I know these songs well enough. I could get up here and be thinking about something completely different, sing the songs just by memory, and you'd think it was real deep and it would be okay and everyone would be happy except me. So I even disciplined myself to kind of get into the song and just think about the lyric I'm singing. And that's why I like to close my eyes sometimes, because it blocks everything else out and it enables me to get right into the fullness of the meaning of the song. And if I do that, then it's more easy for you to do that. But you need to participate. You need to think about the words you're singing. You need to, you know, and you guys do. That's another thing that I really enjoy, is that you get excited in the places where you're supposed to get excited. And I can tell that you're with it and you're following the words, and the words are ministering to you. That's very important. You're not just doing it mechanically by rote, you know. And here's another part of that really becomes a little bit, you know, serious stuff, because really what this is when you praise the Lord is your sacrifice to him, right? How many of you are glad that when you come to church on Sunday morning, you don't have to put a trailer on the back of the van, put a lamb, a bull, a grain offering in there, come into the outer court, give it to the high priest, here's my offering, you know, so I can be forgiven of my sins and go in and praise the Lord. No, Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, the perfect lamb who was slain without spot or blemish. Jesus died once for all. You don't have to deal with that anymore. You have it so easy. It's like we have the McDonald's version of that now, right? All we have to do is bring our pipes, man. Come in, and our song is a sacrifice of praise unto him. So in the Old Testament, you had to bring your best animal, your best grain. Why would you bring the Lord anything but your best song of your heart, right? Give yourself to it completely. And you say, well, Chuck, I don't have a very good voice, you know. My voice sounds like a rusty old tin can. Well, you know what? God doesn't care about the sound of your voice. He cares about the quality of your heart. He hears your heart. That's what he hears. You know, I was leading mellow worship one time, and I had my eyes closed, and we were all singing, and it was a real soft song. And over about where, is your name? Sorry? Tony, right. I should know Tony. Right where Tony's sitting, I heard this, no offense, Tony, I'm sure it wasn't you, but I heard this horrible sound, okay, this singing that was just, you know, and my first reaction, this is all happening in microseconds, you know, I thought, who is invading the beauty and the sanctity of our worship here with that horrible singing? And I looked down, and it was a young man in a wheelchair. He had cerebral palsy or something. He was raising his little withered hand up, you know, I'll never forget it, singing Jesus. You know, first I thought it was somebody being cute. And then I looked and I saw how beautiful he was, not cute, to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I know you know this, but don't ever forget that's the most beautiful sound in heaven right now. And you know, I never did forget it. And I know it's not about the quality of your voice. It's about the quality of your heart toward the Lord. And the Lord, you know, the other side of it is, don't just sit out there and sing louder than anybody else to draw attention to yourself, right? Blend in, but participate, okay? And be a part of things. The other side of that thing is that if the hand doesn't worship, the foot feels it. You know, some of the greatest unity that I've ever seen in the body of Christ has not been in Western culture. It's been in third world countries. I did a meeting in Budapest, Hungary one time where we were in it was about 2 years before the wall came down, and they had a church that was basically underground. Now, I don't want to misrepresent it. No one would come in with machine guns and kill everybody because they were worshiping the Lord, but they had to meet officially in secret. It wasn't something you could do publicly. 2 years later, the charter changed when the wall came down, and they were able to build a church that they could be visibly worshiped. But this was a kind of an underground church thing, about 600 people that came. And after they got over the novelty of, you know, the American that came in and seeing what you're wearing and all that stuff, we turned to worship. And I want to tell you, I never felt an instantaneous focus on the Lord. The minute we started to worship, it was like they dialed me out, they dialed God in, and the Holy Spirit poured out. You know, we're mercy drops are falling, right? Oh, the rain is coming. This was like the barrel of anointing. It just flew all over the place. It was like, whang, it hit the place. And we stayed there for like an hour and a half in the deepest anointing that I'd ever felt up to that point because of the unity of the people. They're hungry. They don't have TBN. They don't have the embarrassment of spiritual riches that we have where we get to the point where you even go, oh, TBN, who watches that anymore, you know? I'm there, you know. I have certain teachers I like to watch, but you know what TBN is, right? Okay. We have certain teachers we like to watch, and it serves its purpose, but we do get a little blasé about the embarrassment of spiritual riches, and we'd rather watch My Mother the Car or something. Well, that's an old reference. Whatever is popular now, fill in the blank, than we would to watch, you know, Christian television. So we have an embarrassment of spiritual riches here. We don't appreciate the things that they do in some cultures where they don't get the stuff that we get as a matter of everyday course. You know? So we need to be appreciative and we need to get involved because the whole point of that little example was the unity in that room is what brought the anointing. And if you're not worshiping, it's affecting the rest of the congregation somehow because we are a body and we're called to function as a body. And like I say, if the hand's not worshiping, the foot will feel it. May not even be aware of it. Because in some more dead churches where there is no anointing, most people aren't really involved in it. So there's a few people that might be trying to get through to God and they're struggling against the tide. But unless everybody's involved, it's going to diminish the ability of God even to pour out his spirit in measure because it's through his body and corporate unity that we get that accomplished. Last and fourth and finished is walk the walk behind the scenes. What gives your worship its currency, its value with God is who you are when you're not in church, okay? It's been said that you can tell what somebody's about when they're alone in a hotel room, what they do, okay? You know, by the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What are you talking about the last week? You're talking about American Idol or cars or poker or your girlfriend or, you know, what, or Jesus. And it's an easy yardstick. How much have I talked about the Lord? How excited am I about Jesus? How much do the things of God come out of my mouth in a weekly basis? It's a real easy little barometer. You don't even really have to struggle very much to figure out where your head is at and what's in your heart in abundance. So we need to keep our conscience, you know, clean before God. I believe repentance is a lifestyle. Amen. You know, it doesn't diminish repentance to repent a lot. Right? We need to stay clean before the Lord. It's just, you know, I believe this too. I believe every meeting should change us. It doesn't diminish the power of the meeting to say that meeting changed my life. So did that one. So did that one. You know, every meeting should change your life. If you encounter Jesus in a meeting, it should change you. You should be different somehow. If you stay the same when you walk out of a meeting, not much happened. You maybe had a little bit of a vocal exercise and you got some worship out and you heard some cool words from the pastor, but if it didn't adjust you a little bit, then it didn't accomplish its purpose, because I don't believe there's a static place in Christianity. There's no way to stay static. You're either back, sliding back, or you're going forward. It's one way or the other. There isn't any neutral in God, okay? Idle. It's going, IDLE. It's going forward or backward, okay? So we need to examine our hearts. We need to keep tender before God. We need to, now here's my, if I have a formula at all, here's a formula for walking successfully before God. To walk according to the light that you have, right, on a daily basis, taking small steps of faith and obedience. If you're doing that, you're really seeking the Lord. Lord, what do you want to do in my life today? What do you want to teach me? I want to take the step of faith today. I want to move ahead. You know, I've seen that the most dramatic things in my life have happened over a period of time, line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, if some things happen dramatically, I've been delivered. I've had some cool, heavy, powerful things happen in my life. But it's the slow, steady walk. It's the consistency. It's the commitment. It's commitment that makes a marriage, you know. Worldly marriages, the fabric of worldly marriages, you know, falls apart because the butterflies wear off, or the wife adds a few pounds or whatever, or the younger girl comes along for the man or whatever the thing is. But the real measure of longevity in a marriage, especially a Christian marriage, is the commitment, right? Yeah. That you're hanging in. I have a little joke I say. My wife and I have been married 38 years, and it's all her fault. Because she's put up with the stuff I've gone through, alcohol addiction. My wife could have blown me off many times. But she's always hung in there and been there for me and believed that I was going to make it, okay? And I have another little concept for you. You have faith in God, and I think that God has faith in you. I really believe that. I really believe that God looks down and says, you will make it. You're going to be okay, son. Come on. It's all right. You're going to make it. And there's a certain element of faith that he has in us, just as we have faith in him to see us through. So you need to stay tender before God, and you need to also be worshiping God, you know, not just on Sunday morning, not just on Sunday night, not just on service night. Then you're just a person who knows how to worship. But if you want to be a worshiper, you worship God all week long. Now, does that mean I walk around singing hill songs all week long? No, I'm not talking about that any more than pray without ceasing means you go around, our Father which art in heaven. Yes, what will you have with that? Ketchup? Hallowed be thy name. Oh, can I bring you a little drink? You know, you're busy with things in life. But praying without ceasing means having a connection with God no matter what you're doing. When you're in a movie theater, you can get a spiritual connection from the film, or even watching TV or some other sporting event. You're in touch with God. Or maybe God, I'm at a sporting event. Maybe you want me to talk to this person about the Lord, whatever, right? That's praying without ceasing to me. And praise without ceasing is the same thing. You know, you don't have to do a long thing. You know, if you tell your wife, you know, if you come up to your wife and you say, babe, I love you. What a blessing you are to my life. I'm so glad that God gave you to me to be my wife. She doesn't say, well, would you please write a 15-page essay on why? You know? She's probably blown away that you said that, right? Or the, you know, we had flower power in the 60s. When you get older and you get married, men can't understand this. We don't understand how it works, but we know it does. It's the power of flowers, right? It's a man, we buy roses, give to wife, she likes. Me know why. No, know why. Really, we don't. We don't understand it because we want a gadget. You know, we want an iPod. We want an electronic gadget. We want a fishing pole. We want a baseball bat. We don't want flowers. They're going to die in 3 days. What's the deal with that, you know? You know, one of the things I did, this was like using your, I meant it from my heart, but I also knew it would work. My wife had been gone for a couple of weeks, and I very rarely am I at my house when my wife's not there. I had about 3 weeks in the house alone, and she came back. So I bought a dozen roses at Costco, but come on, hey, you know, thought it counts, right? They're nice, you know. Why spend 100 when you can spend 20, right? So I took the dozen roses and I put them right. We come up out of our garage and we open the door and there's a table there. And I put the dozen roses on the table and I took one rose and I put it right on the bathtub. We have a little flat area on the bathtub. And I took another rose and I put it on her pillow. And I'd gone out and I bought a mint like they do in a hotel. And I put a mint and a rose on her. Man, I got some mileage out of that. I got to tell you, that was good for about a year. She was calling my daughters in California. You know what your dad did for me? I'm telling you, it's like phenomenal. But here's the thing. Little things mean a lot. Kitty Callan. song, right? It's true. Little things mean a lot, and it doesn't take a lot. Just, Lord, thank you. God, you've blessed me so much. Thank you, Lord, for provision, faithful provision. One of the things I love to pray in before a meal is, Lord, thank you for faithful provision. You know, we're sitting here eating in the worst of times, you know. You can say, I've got a roof over my head. I can watch American Idol tonight, and I'm eating a filet mignon. It may come from Costco, but it's filet mignon, all right? I like Costco. You have Sam's here, right? But, yeah, what? But it's
curry goat.
Curry goat, yes. Yeah. You had to be there, okay? So keep our hearts tender before God, you know, and tell God you love him and remain in an attitude of worship, you know, worship. And it doesn't take a lot. And then if you want to, you know, some people play praise music in their house all day long. That's awesome. You know, it's a wonderful thing, too. Or not listening to anything but praise in your car. It can all be good, okay? But don't get into legalism. I don't believe in that, you know. I will not listen to anything but praise music, you know. And then someday you want to listen to a talk show or something and you feel guilty about it. Don't get into that zone. But, you know, do things that edify. Here's the thing. You got a choice. You can do the spiritual thing or the non-spiritual thing, and you'll reap what you sow. It's quite simple.
Yeah.
So, anyhow. So for the last few minutes here, let's go into a little bit of worship and just see where God takes us. I have one song that I felt like I wanted to start with, and then we'll see what we do to end the night. Deep calls unto deep. Deep calls unto deep. Take us under your waterfall. Take us under your waterfall, O Lord. Let the rain pour down. Let the sweet wind blow. Let the rain pour down. Let the sweet wind blow. Take us under your waterfall. Let us drown in the sea of your love, O Lord. Let the rain pour down. Let the sweet wind blow. We will mount up on wings as of eagles. We will mount up on eagle's wings. Take us higher. Take us higher and higher into heavenly places, O Lord. Let us mount up on eagle's wings. Higher. 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 Standing in a field of grass, a sea of glass, my mind is slowly drifting. My soul entwines as hearts combine, the beauty of your presence slowly drifting. I draw near to you, my Lord, as I approach your presence, and we're drifting. Inside the secret place, my heart is filled with wonder at your love. The light of grace reflects your face as I am caught in rapture, slowly drifting. I am caught away as evening folds into the night, and I am drifting. Drifting on a sea of love, on waves of heaven from above, they capture me, and I am blown away. Drifting on the glory of your countenance, I see your love for me. I am caught away. I am caught away.
am caught away. Glory of your countenance, I see your love for me. I am caught away. I am caught away. I am caught away. I am caught away. And my heart cries, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. And my heart cries, holy. Worthy are you, Lord.
Worthy are you, Lord. Holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy are you, Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, 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 you are Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. Worthy, worthy, worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord? Is an oldie. When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when I feel the warmth of needing your love. Fill them in. When my will becomes enthralled in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. I worship you. I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when I feel the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthralled in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you. I worship. The reason I live is to worship you. I worship you. I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. Let's sing, we worship you. We worship you.
We worship you, Lord. The reason we live is to worship you. We worship you. We worship you. The reason we live is to worship you. The reason we live, Lord, is to worship you. Lord, the reason that we live is to worship you. To worship you. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. You open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Let's sing that verse again. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God.
You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Wonderful to me. Talk to me. Talk to me. I'm waiting in the morning. I wait throughout the day. How sweet it is for me to hear all the things you have to say. How lovely is the music of your heart. Talk to me, my child.
I've loved you for forever, and forever I will be the one who will always love you. And when you are with me, how lovely is the music of your heart. Talk to me, my love. I love to hear your praises. I love to hear you pray. I want to hold you in my arms tonight, and I want to dry your tears away. So talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me, my love. I love to hear you pray. I want to hold you in my arms tonight, and I want to dry your tears away. So talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me, my love. Won't you sing to me? Won't you open up your heart and just sing to me? Your voice shall I hear in the morning. I want to hear your voice at the end of the day. For I love to hear the sound of your voice. You are my child. You are my love. Come, sit at my feet. Come and talk, talk, talk to me. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. We sing praises. We sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name.
and greatly to be praised. We sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. For your name is great, Lord, it's greatly to be praying. Oh, your name is great, and it's greatly to be praying. All the things that I want in this whole wide world, just to know you, Lord, just to know you, Lord. And of all the things that I want in this whole wide world, it's just to know you, Lord, just to know you, Lord, to draw near to you, to come near to you, to feel the warmth, oh Lord, of your love, to feel the sunlight on my shoulder, to feel the sunlight on my face, to feel the power of your love, the power of your grace, Lord. We are the forgiven. We are the ones that you have died for. We're so grateful, Lord. You brought us out of the darkness. You brought us into your marvelous light. We may declare your praises in this place tonight. And of all the things that I want in this whole wide world, it's just to know you better, to know your ways. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. We want to be more like you. We want to be more like you. All the things that I want in this whole wide world, Lord, is just to know you better, just to know your ways, to feel your love, to know your compassion, to catch a glimpse of the sunlight, to catch a glimpse of your love for me, oh, 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 oh. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all. For thou, O Lord, you are high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods.
Thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far.
Be high and lifted up in this place, O Lord. Be exalted in the heavens and in the earth. Be exalted over our homes, over this church, over all your works in this area, Lord. Jesus is present to heal, to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to set the captives free tonight. Just receive the free gift from above, from the Father of lights tonight. Touch bodies, Lord. Touch hearts. Touch minds. Abba, Father, how we love you. Abba, Father, how we love you. I want you to wait on the Lord right now, and I want you to have the Lord. I mean, we're asking right now, Lord, that you would do this by your Spirit. I want you to wait on the Lord for the specific name of someone that you know that doesn't know Jesus. In your family or your work or school, whatever it might be, the Lord will give you someone specific to pray for. We're going to do something a little different tonight. Mostly at this time, we probably pray for your needs, and that's a good thing. There was a time in my life where the Lord, I had a financial difficulty, and the Lord gave me a rhema word that it was a done deal. And he said, don't pray about this again because it's a done deal. Well, how many of you have ever been in the position where if you prayed, you'd be disobeying God? Interesting, huh? Right? It's hard to imagine. So I lifted up friends of mine that had financial needs when I had the urge to pray. Didn't want to disobey God. And I said, Lord, bless Mark. Bless Paul, all my friends in street ministry that need finances. And I call it praying out. And when we pray out, the Lord meets our needs as well. Get our mind off ourselves. Kind of like tithing and giving. When you give out, God gives back to you. So let's give out tonight. Here's what I want to do. I don't think God minds we put a time limit on this. Within 60 days, we're going to pray that the person that you pray for tonight will have an encounter with the gospel. All right? Now, I'm still a little cloudy personally on whether we can actually pray, Lord, they will be saved, because that's a matter of choice. We use the Philippian jailer as a proof text and all that, but it might have been a rhema word to him. I don't know. I feel like we're at least comfortable to pray that someone will have a definitive encounter with Jesus. And the most important thing that we can do, you know, we talk about, well, you make this choice by your own free will, but what will is really free among worldly men today? When the devil has them so caught up in wrong thinking and lies and deception, is their will really free? See, they're affected and influenced by the Germans have a great word for it. They call it the Zeitgeist. Zeit means time. And Geist is ghost. It's the spirit of the time. And the spirit of our time, the Zeitgeist today, is controlled and manipulated by the powers of darkness that cause people to think the way they do. He's the architect of world thinking. The devil is, okay? And so what we need to do is come against that deception. The stuff that makes people turn past the evangelist on the TV or mock them. I've had some situations where I've been on the internet recreationally doing, well, I play internet poker sometimes. There's no money involved. And my friends and I'll get on and there'll be a little bit of a banter about Jesus. And I want to tell you, I've had some people come in like, we are the devil. It gets into the F word and the whole thing. And you're just on a little stupid little game recreationally. And the name of Jesus brings up such violent, negative emotion. People are just clouded out there. Let me tell you a little interesting thing, okay? I don't know if you've ever thought of this, but we don't want to take the name of the Lord in vain, right? If you think about it, the name of Jesus, when we say it as a swear word, is so offensive. But no other name of any other supposed God is really offensive. If you say, oh, Krishna. Ah, Buddha. It just doesn't have any weight, does it? Because those guys aren't real gods, see? That isn't really blasphemy. But when you use Jesus' name, it's offensive. curdles our spirit because he is God. It's a big difference, see? So we need to get people's minds off the lies of the world so that they'll be open and able to hear the clear message of Jesus. I was so naive when I first became a Christian. I honestly believe this. I believe that if you weren't born again, you'd never heard the gospel. And it was a simple thing. Just explain the gospel and people become Christians because it's the obvious, simple truth. There's no way that anyone could say, no, that doesn't work for me because it's so obvious. And it was in my innocence and naivety as a freshly born again Christian. And then later on, I got my reality check and I realized that people had rejected Jesus. They'd gone off backslidden, whatever, but I didn't know that was possible. So do you have your person in your mind? Father, we lift this person to you tonight. You name it to him. Name the person to Jesus. That in 60 days, this person will have an encounter with the gospel. That they'll hear a clear gospel message. And Father, we come against the dominion, the principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age that cloud the minds of men. And we bind your works right now. We come against the assignment that you have against the mind, the emotions of that person, the soul. That you must release your grip right now so that person's mind will be able to function clearly and be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So devil, release your grip right now in the name of Jesus. Back off. And we ask, Father, that you'll bring someone alongside to bring that gospel message. Now here's part two, okay? It might be you. So here's the second part of the prayer. We're going to pray that you have a divine encounter in the next 60 days to share your faith with someone. Now, they may not necessarily intersect. The Lord may have someone else for the person you prayed for, but it might be you. But if it's not you with them, we'll pray that you have an encounter with someone to share your faith, because we need people to get soul winning back in the vocabulary of the church. We need to get evangelism. I'm so thrilled this morning. Pastor Vaughn gave an altar call. You guys see it every week. Do you know how rare that is? I go to churches all the time. Nobody does altar calls anymore. Nobody has even a thing that says, come up to the end afterward if you want to talk to somebody about how to receive Jesus. It's all about us again, right? It's the me club. What a refreshing thing, churches that have altar calls. It's awesome. There's awesome, okay? So, Father, the second part of our prayer is that we submit ourselves for a divine appointment, that you'll provide an opportunity for us to share our faith with someone. And, Lord, I pray it'll come without manipulation, without shoehorning it into the conversation, that it'll just be something that happens. We'll be talking to somebody about baseball or whatever, and all of a sudden Jesus will come up, and we'll go, oh, I remember what I prayed with Chuck that night. This is my night. This is my opportunity. And that we would be bold to share our faith. But keep in mind that it isn't all about reaping. Sometimes you're just sowing a seed. Sometimes you're watering a seed. But you may want to also it might be a time when you'll reap the harvest. So be sensitive to that, whether you're sowing, watering, or reaping. And Father, we thank you tonight that you're going to provide that opportunity. For we know that we pray according to your will, because it's your will that all men would be saved. And then I pray, Lord, that it only whets our appetite, that once we do that, we're just looking for opportunities to share our faith with others, to pray for divine appointments, to be bold in our faith, to shout your name to a lost and dying world in these end times. We believe we receive this in Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. Amen. All right. Well, it's been a great night. I don't know how you usually end these nights.